Ms. Kirsten, can we get Kathleen's mic on for Bob, please? Or Pat, whoever's speaking. The speakers, they're going to share with us a testimony that God has recently performed, or a miracle God has recently performed in their life, and the testimony of that. Okay. So I have two guest speakers.
She's going to do most of it because... And then when she stops, I'll pick
up. Hold the mic close.
First of all, I'd like to say that I thank all of you for praying. You'll see pretty soon what happened with the testimony. But there's been several words of knowledge or prophecy given about the accident. And one of the things was that I would recover very quickly. And I'm not going to say too much here, but I want to just give a few things that happened. I did bring my glasses so I can read, but I think I can probably remember and maybe see it. No, I'm going to have to put them on. Everything's blurry. I've had cataract surgery, but I have to have reading glasses, so I remembered. First of all, in this time of after the accident, I have lots of time to think. In the night, I sleep in the front room in a recliner. It's the best bed I could find. We have a hospital bed, but I don't like it. So in the morning, I wake up early, and then I remember things that through the day, through information she's got over the Facebook of people to pray for. So this is my time to pray for others. And I enjoy that time. Sometimes I might drift off, but usually not, because I stay awake for probably an hour after I've got up once in the night. We want to thank our many, many friends who have contacted us by cards, financial gifts, food gifts. Oh, lands, do we have food? The freezer's full of little things that people's brought in, and we also had already had full freezers, so we're trying to stuff them in. The prophecies that were given, or word of knowledge, that said I would heal very quickly, and I am. I don't use a walker anymore, and just the bones are healing. I can sneeze really loud, and it doesn't hurt, and I had several broken ribs. I can cough. And when I came home from the hospital, I could just go, and it was excruciating pain, but it went by fast, healing fast. So this morning I opened up our light bill. And the last year or two, we're on REA, or Idaho County Light and Power. Well, the next 5 months are paid with stock, or whatever you call it, we have in it for the many years of being on it. So that was a surprise. I didn't got it yesterday and didn't open until this morning. I was going to pay the bill. And so the next 5 months are paid. That's just one of our blessings. So she's going to mention something in here. In this, I wrote this up, and then she rewrote it, and she's going to read it. And then if she fails, and she'll give it to me. If she, we had two real special blessings. One was a prayer that came to us and to others that are hurting, and that was from Mary Lycan. I'll never forget it. It meant a need that I didn't know. I knew I had needs, but I didn't. When I read that prayer, she read it to me, I think, and then I've thought about it since. It was a powerful prayer, a long prayer. And she's not here yet, so. But anyway, I want to thank her. And another special, and it'll be mentioned in here, of the many people that did things for us, one unspectacular thing. Jeff and Donna drove from Lewiston on a Saturday to fix the lift chair. Just drove up just for that and came back. And this will be mentioned in here, but it meant so much. And then Sunday after church, I came to church the first Sunday, they came up and fixed the bed so it would lower down. It was the hospital bed was too high, and there wasn't a crank, the right crank bar for the crank wasn't there, so we couldn't lower it. It was way high. He came and fixed that. And now I'm going to turn it over to her. She may give it back quickly. I don't know.
This is Bob's testimony. May 7th started like any other day, but ended so different. I had ordered a load of gravel to be delivered to my brother's property across from our driveway. I drove down to give the driver a check. The truck came, and I went to cross the highway when an older, heavier-built pickup T-boned my little 97 Nissan pickup. That was the last thing I remember until I woke up a distance from the collision. Our neighbor heard brakes squeal and a big crash and called to his visiting brother-in-law to get his wife to call 911. Bobby has been hit. He then rushed to my pickup to find me, his childhood and lifelong friend, unconscious, laying over in the seat. He thought I was gone, but he noticed a small gasp, rolling of my eyes, and me starting to breathe. He got me to talking some and kept saying, "Stay with me, Bobby." I asked about my pickup, and then it dawned on me there are others involved. I learned two teenagers were on their way to school when I crossed the road slowly in front of them. They applied their brakes and slid 30 to 60 feet, hitting me beside the back of my seat and on down along the bed of my pickup. Hearing the crash, the dump truck driver looked in his rearview mirror and saw my rig airborne. Apparently, it turned midair and then rolled backwards, coming to a stop maybe 25 feet or more from the point of impact, pretty much where I'd intended to go. My niece arrived quickly, a trained EMT, and taking nurse's training in college now. She said she barely goes anywhere except straight to work or straight home, but this day, she had an errand to do that took her right past our driveway seconds after impact. She checked for pulse, it was steady, and stabilized my neck and head until ambulance EMTs arrived. They forced open my door with crowbars to get me out, then began the painful process of moving me from the pickup to the backboard and into the ambulance. Clearwater ambulance crews reached me first, with Kuski ambulance arriving to transport me in their new ambulance. We're told he was the first one to ride in it. In Grangeville, after several tests, it was determined I had 8 fractures, broken neck, 3 ribs, and 4 lower lumbar vertebrae. I received a neck brace and was sent home on Monday the 10th. After 4 days in the hospital where they controlled pain and taught me how to move the safest, least painful ways, I needed no surgery for my neck. Praise the Lord. At home, Pat and I started adjusting to life with limitations of movement, medicine schedules, etc. Thursday or Friday, I began occasionally coughing. It increased more on Saturday. I was able to attend church Sunday and visit with friends. Monday morning, I awoke at 4 a.m., with a scary shortness of breath, so I decided to not fall back asleep. I got up and got ready for the day. About 10 a.m., I walked out across our yard, down an embankment, and across the lower lawn to see if a phone crew had arrived yet to repair our cut phone line from a Friday event. We had 3 electrical outages and 1 telephone outage during this time. I realized something was wrong. I began to have shortness of breath, so much so that I became lightheaded on the embankment trail back up to the house. I made it to the top, almost out of breath. I tried to sit on a ladder, and I realized I needed to get inside, headed to the front of the house. As I reached the sidewalk, my body gave out, and I slowly sank to my knees so I wouldn't fall hard. Suddenly, very hot and then very cold, broke out in a sweat, and I briefly blacked out. I pushed on to get to the house and let Pat know what was going on. Between her, my brother, and sister-in-law, I was convinced I needed to get to the Grangeville walk-in clinic and be checked out. We learned there that I had many blood clots in my lungs. I was life-flighted to the ICU at St. Luke's in Boise. I was put on blood thinner, and I was moved out of ICU to a regular floor Tuesday evening. I was there Monday night through Thursday, 2:30 p.m., released with prescribed blood thinner that I'm to be on for 6 months while the clot in my right leg and the many clots in my lungs dissolve. I learned that when I fell at the house, that was when the blood clots had traveled through my heart to my lungs, stressing my heart and causing the shortness of breath, weakness, and blackout. I had no heart attack, no stroke. They just need to be dissolved. That's all background leading up to the way the Lord and others have ministered to me. Thanks to the Lord, I did not have my seatbelt on, which was highly unusual for me. Doctor said it likely would have caused paralysis from the neck down for life if I survived at all. If I had had it on, my body would have sustained all the shock. Not having it on allowed my body to move away from impact and not absorb all the shock of the blow. I thank many for the support, from my wife standing unending hours night and day by my side, to those who helped at the scene of the wreck. Deputy Micah Olson, niece Tindy Hunter, Miles and Pat York, the EMTs, the doctors, nurses, all the medical staff, family. Our sons have stepped up and been a tremendous help. My brother and sister-in-law, Jim and Patsy Hunter. So many of you have sent cards and food and groceries and run errands for us. Special thanks to Crystal for the loan of a lift chair, Forrest and Elisha for delivering it, Loving Hands crew Donald and Lyle for the loan and delivery of a hospital bed, Jeff and Donna Johnson, like Bob said, coming all the way from Lewiston just to maybe be able to fix the chair. Thank you all, and God bless you. And to any I may have forgotten to mention, there are so many things we see now that have worked in our favor out of this. One final thing. Well, in the Boise hospital early Thursday morning, I was surfing the channels and I came across an evangelist. The message was on miracles. It really ministered to me. I found myself praising the Lord with upraised hands and claiming a miracle in my life. The message I received was for me. This is for a season, and it will come to pass. I did have some bouts of anxiety and depression, but only for short periods, as I knew to turn to Jesus for help. Now it's up to me to keep steady in Him and get well. Thanks again to you, my church family. May the Lord bless you. And I want to say just one thing personally. When he was life-lighted out and I could not go with him and had already had bouts of anxiety, it was really, really hard. And I stopped and parked and I watched towards the airport and I saw the chopper lift off. And I said, God, you promised to be with us and you'll never forsake us, and I claim that for Bob. And God did a miracle in his heart. Instead of anxiety, he said, well, Lord, it's up to you what happens with my life. And then he had a blast on the ride. So thanks be to God who does all things well.
Amen. Our God is good. Even in the hardships we face, the trials, the struggles, they're real. But God is real also. And he is bigger and greater. And even if Bob hadn't remained with us, God has promised an eternity with him to those who love him, to those who serve him, to those who choose him. So how much greater would that be? We'd be a lot sadder, but Bob would be a lot happier. Sometimes we don't know, we don't see, we don't understand what God is doing. And we're thankful today that Bob's here, that he's with us, that he's back in church, doing well. He's given us a couple scares along the way. But I just love his attitude. I'm hurt, I'm down, I can't do anything. He could have got depressed, he could have got down on himself, he could have got down on God. But instead he says, what can I do with my time? I have all these others in need I can be praying for. In his time of hurt and need and pain and suffering, he chose to serve others in something he could do. So never minimize your situation. Always look, what can I do in this situation? You can always spin it to be positive, to be encouraging, to be supporting of others. So look deeper than the surface issue. So thank you, Bob and Pat, for sharing. That's awesome. We need testimonies in our lives of the goodness of God to remind us each and every day how good he really is, how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. We're going to jump into the Word today. I'm titling this next series, Maintenance Check. You need a maintenance check in your life. Do you get checkups often? Do you check in with yourself? Do you check in with God? How am I doing? Do you check in with the doctor, the dentist? Those of you who need glasses, do you ever get checked out and say, can I see? Can I still see? Can I no longer see? Do you get your vehicles maintained? Should you get your vehicles maintained? Maybe it's a better question. Yes, absolutely. We should have maintenance. And we have maintenance in place in our lives to keep us on track for where God has intended us to go. So today we're going to look at the warning lights. Have you ever had a warning light come on? I don't know about in Bob's truck, but in my truck I have this little light in my dash that lights up with a little red guy and a little red stripe across him. And it's not canceling him out, it's his seatbelt. And then to go along with that little red light, I have this annoying and it goes for about 18 seconds. I know because sometimes I ignore it and don't put my seatbelt on like I should. But we have warning lights in our spiritual life as well. And we don't have to adhere to them. We don't have to listen to them. We can ignore them. But it could be costly on the other end. Could be very costly. It could cost more than your life. It could be generations beyond you that you're costing, because the Word tells us that if we live in sin, it's multiplied to the third and fourth generation. But what happens when we listen to God and listen to his warnings and walk in his favor and we love him and serve him? He says it's multiplied to 1,000 generations. So what's better, to listen to the warning lights or not listen to the warning lights? If God's given you warning lights, you should listen. There was this old Western I remember watching, and there's these bandits that are getting ready to rob the gold train, and the first bandit has a sign along the railroad tracks, and it says, slow down. And a little while down the track, there's another bandit who has a sign along the railroad track, and it says, stop. And the conductors are looking out the window like, slow down, stop. And pretty soon, the next one has another sign, and it says, danger ahead. The conductor's like, oh, slow down, stop, danger. I wonder what's going on. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get to a construction zone, it says slow down, flagger ahead, be prepared to stop, and you're still just cruising at 60? And you come around the corner and you're amazed that there's this line of traffic backed up and a guy with an orange sign at the end of it. Like, where'd he come from? Well, the last 15 signs should have told you. Well, wait, they did tell you. You just chose to ignore them. God puts these signs in our life over and over and over again. So these conductors continue down the track, and the next guy holding the sign, it says, too late. And the conductor starts to get nervous and looks at his partner like, what? And they look again, and it says, the next guy's sign says, you're dead. And they look down, it shows back down the track, and here's this pile of dynamite in the middle of the track stacked up, ready to blow. And of course, they're in panic mode now. They're locking up the brakes and trying to stop the train. Don't ever get to that point in your life. Listen to the warning signs that God gives you all along the way. When he starts saying, slow down, stop, danger ahead. Don't let him get to too late. You're dead. Pay attention to the warning signs in your lives. pay attention to what God is speaking to you. And in order to do that, we have to stop and we have to listen and ask this question: God, what are you saying to me? God, what are you speaking into my life? Have you ever went into a yard that has this sign on the fence that says, "Beware of dog"? Sometimes it's just to keep the mailman out of the yard, or door-to-door salesman out of the yard, or census takers out of the yard. And you go in and there's this dog about this big. He can barely get his mouth around your shoestring. But sometimes they mean it. And sometimes you go through that fence and you're about to the porch and all of a sudden you hear woof, woof. And you turn and look and there's a 180-pound bull mastiff staring you in the face. You go, "Oh, I should have listened to the warning signs. The food bowl was this big." Listen to the warning signs of your life. It will prevent you from a lot of danger, from a lot of heartache, from a lot of hardship. I went to Lewiston this week, and of course, one of the construction zones, you see those signs. And we come around the corner, and there's just been an accident in the line behind the flagger because somebody didn't listen to the warning signs. There were probably 12 or 13 orange signs and cones along the road before you got there that said, "Be prepared to stop, flagger ahead, slow down." But they weren't adhered to. Because not only will you hurt yourself if you avoid the warning signs, you will hurt those around you. There are often other casualties when you're not paying attention and listening and looking to what God is telling you. So pay attention in your life, which means I have to be intentional. I have to be proactive. I can't just go through life, la-di-da, thinking, well, something good's going to happen because God's in control. God's given me gifts, talents, and abilities, a mind to think, a heart to feel, His Holy Spirit to give me counsel and guidance so that I can go and pay attention, so that I can go and be aware, so that I can be blessed to be a blessing to those around me. So go and do likewise. Be intentional in what you're doing. Stop and think. What are the warning signs God is giving me? What's God showing me in my life? Exodus chapter 20. Some great guidelines, some warning signs that God has given us. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. A fairly familiar passage, but verse 1. "And God spoke all these words." And God spoke all these words. Do you know that God speaks to you, that He wants to speak to you? But when is the last time you heard from God? And if you would say, "Well, I can't remember. I think it was quite a while ago." It probably means you're not spending enough time in His presence to listen to His voice. God is always speaking to us. And He speaks to us through different ways as we grow in relationship with Him, as we gain knowledge and understanding of who He is in our lives. He can speak to us through His Word. I can't tell you the number of times I've had a situation going on, but "God, would you just speak to me? Will you just give me understanding? Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge." And I open His Word and read it and go, "That's what I needed for today. Like, that's the nugget. Later on in my conversation, this is what I need to do." Or I've turned the radio on and a song will come on. Or I'll have a conversation with somebody and God will use that conversation to speak something to me that's like, "Hello, I had a decision to make this weekend, a business decision that I was excited about and wanting to do." I was like, "Well, God, just speak to me. When I go to this guy's weekend, use the speaker to speak into my situation to tell me what to do." And like the first lines out of his mouth were for me. I was like, "Oh, you made it pretty clear, God. That's like writing on the wall. Thank you." But if we pay attention, we begin to understand God doesn't always come down and say, "Hey, RB, this is God. I want you to take a left at the stop sign." I've never had that happen. I'm a little envious of those people that have. I've never audibly heard the voice of God except through other people. But if I pay attention and my heart is already in alignment with the heart of the Father, and I'm already seeking for a specific answer or direction, then when the answer comes through someone else, I go, okay, God, I asked and you responded. I opened your word and you responded. I turned on the radio and a song came on that was exactly what I wanted to hear or needed to hear. It's not always what I want to hear. This week in this business decision I had to make, it was to make a lot of money. I wanted to make money. God said, no, I want you to trust me. I want me to be where your help comes from. I want it to be undeniable that I'm blessing you and you're not working for it. I'm like, seriously, God? Okay, I'll do it. It's kind of been a theme of my life. I've been tempted with lots of opportunities to go make money. But God says, no, I want to be your provider. I don't want you to question where your help comes from. I don't want you to get prideful, Arby, and think you did this. Because you didn't, I did. So seek God's counsel at every turn. When the warning signs start coming on, what are you doing? Where's my heart at? I was asking God these questions. You know, where's my heart? Why do I want to do this? And God said, well, Arby, you're not really fully trusting me right now. You're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at your situation and thinking you need to do something about it. He says, Arby, I've gone before you. I've already made a way. I need you to just trust me. I have to swallow my pride and say, okay, God, but I can do this. God says, I don't want you to do it. I want to do it for you. Those warning signs, if we pay attention, I could have made a bad decision this weekend. But instead, I sought God for his answers. And he spoke to me using someone else from Western Washington even. Can you believe that? He is a pastor, although, so. A coastie. God will use people to speak into your life if you'll be listening. If you'll be open. If you'll be willing. So a few years back, I had this blue Toyota that I loved. I had him for lots of years. I was heading to work one morning, 4 a.m., and I jump in my truck and I started it. And of course, I look at all my gauges and my oil gauge doesn't come up. I'm like, that's weird. Tap my dash. I'm like, my oil gauge just broke. That's weird, right? So I go, like, you know, it's like 6 miles into work, so I'm going to drive into work because I have a hunt to guide and I need to get there. You can't be late for those kind of dates. And so I head into work and I get about a mile from the guide room and hear this. I'm like, ooh, that didn't sound good. This sounds like the engine is eating something metal. This really is not good. But it's 4 a.m. and you don't have a lot of friends you can call at 4 a.m. to take you into work. At least not if you want to keep them as friends. So I get as close as I can and pick up one of the work vehicles and go on in. And I'm like, man, I wonder what happened. And unbeknownst to me is you have an oil pump that pumps the oil into your engine. I thought you just put it in, the engine pumped it around or something. I don't know. I'm not a super mechanic by any means. But my oil pump had failed, not my gauge. My warning gauge was telling me something's wrong internally. But instead, I believed the gauge was wrong. How many times in your life does somebody try to speak the truth of God's word to you? And you look at them and go, something's wrong with the gauge. There's nothing wrong with me. How many times do we ignore the warning of God when it comes through somebody that we don't think it should come through? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's your pastor. But how many times do you have that warning and you ignore it, or you disregard it, or you don't trust the source? If I get a word from somebody I don't trust, I take it to God. I say, God, is this really from you? He tells us to do that in his word. Bring it before him. Bring your warning signs before God. And say, God, you know, I'm not feeling this in my heart. I know they spoke it to me, but God, if this is in me, reveal it to me. And God will be faithful and true, and he will reveal it, whether it's true or not. Because I didn't ignore it this day, and it blew my engine. It cost me a new engine for my truck. So do not ignore the warning lights. Listen to the voice of God. He will speak to you. Verse 1, and God spoke all these words. I don't know if we'll get through this whole passage today. I'm guessing not. Verse number 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I am the Lord your God. You need acknowledgement of God in your life. You need to know who God is. You need to know that he has your best interest in mind. He has your best future in mind. When he sends you a warning light, it is not to harm you. It is not to hurt you. It is not to cause you to have an accident at the end of your driveway. But it is to warn you. It is to protect you. It is to serve you. It is to empower you. It is to bless you if you will listen. I was talking to a gal this last week, and her husband had some physical trouble, and she said, yeah, I was talking to some of my Christian friends, and they were telling me that God makes bad things happen to us so we can learn to love him more. I'm like, whoa, what? I'm like, where do you find that in the Word? She goes, well, I haven't. Could you show me? I'm like, no, I can't. Because the Word tells us that good things come from the Father. And bad things come from the government. No. Sorry, some of you were sleeping. I had to get a reaction. No. Bad things come from the devil. And the devil can use anything to bring bad into your life. He can use anyone, somebody near you. But if we remember, our war isn't against flesh and blood, but our real war is against the devil. Not humans, not human entities, but the devil is the founder of all lies, the founder of all evil, the founder of all hurt and all pain, of destruction and mayhem, of dissension. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So anytime there's killing or stealing or destroying going on in your life, it's not from God. Pay attention to the warning signs. It's not from God. But God is the healer, the creator, the maker. He says, when you have trouble, I will be there with you. He doesn't say, when I send trouble, then I'll come help you. No, he says, when you have trouble, I will be there with you. And I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. But I will be your God. I will come alongside you. I will walk with you through it. And I will turn what the devil meant for evil, the devil meant for evil, to be something good. To be a testimony, like Bob just shared with us today. God will turn evil that was meant to harm you to something good that will give him glory and honor. Pay attention to the warning signs in your life. Pay attention to what God has done for you. These Israelites, God brought them out of Egypt. Egypt was 400 years of slavery for their people. And it started out with Joseph being second in command next to the Pharaoh over the whole country. And then over time, a new kingship came in, and they forgot about who Joseph and his family were and said, wow, they're getting really numerous, and if we don't do something, they're going to overtake us, and if war breaks out, they'll overpower us. So we need to enslave them, put them in bondage. So what started out as a beautiful thing, if they would have started paying attention to the warning signs early, we might have had a different story. But they begin enslaving them. They begin treating them harshly. They begin killing their babies. They began working them hard day and night. Everything they built and did was for the Egyptian Empire. What if they would have saw those warning signs early? But remember what God has brought you out of. What were you once a slave to? To Satan, to sin. And personally, you could take it a step further, and what were my addictions? What were my habits? What were my hang-ups? What were my wrongdoings? What was I personally a slave to? Because the Egyptians were slave, or the Israelites were slave to the Egyptians for over 400 years. And then God sets them free into the wilderness. And because they are so slave-minded, they would rather go back and be slaves than serve God in the wilderness. And if we don't listen to the warning signs, we would rather go back into our bondage and slavery than to walk in faith and trust that God will provide when we can't see provision. And we don't have time to get into all the miracles that God worked. But remembering what God saved you from, there will always be the temptation to go back just because it's familiar. And you know what to expect, and you know what you're going to get, and it doesn't take a lot of faith or trust to live there. But if you don't pay attention to the warning signs, you will fall back into that slavery, that bondage. And it might not look like drug addiction. It might not look like pornography addiction. It might not look like adulterous affairs. It might simply just be that you're not living up to the potential that God has created you for in His kingdom. It may just be that you're not living up to the fulfillment of all God has placed inside of you of gifts, talents, and abilities and using them for His glory. Just that slavery and bondage, Satan will take and steal anything he can from you. And remember, he doesn't just steal from you, but he steals. When he steals from you, he's stealing from those that you were supposed to bless, those that you were supposed to extend love and mercy to. Because when I'm so angry and bitter at the world, I'm not showing love and mercy to those around me. I'm not extending forgiveness and grace to those around me. So people are missing out. And possibly their one encounter with God was going to be with me, but I didn't pay attention to the warning signs saying, you're overheating, you're overheating, you're overheating. So the Jesus I showed them that day was, rah! And they're like, whoa, if that's Jesus, I don't want to go to His church. Have you ever represented Jesus poorly? Anybody besides me? I've had to go back and apologize a time or two. Say, hey, look, I know the other day when I responded or acted that way, I was not representing Jesus. And of course, most of our community knows me as a pastor, so they already know who I'm supposed to represent. And I have to say, that was not Christ-like. That was Arby-like. And please don't judge Jesus Christ by my actions that day. Will you forgive me for acting that way? Will you forgive me for embarrassing my Lord and Savior? And I hate doing that. You have to really swallow your pride and humble yourself to go do that. But it's worth it. Because if not, then we're ignoring our warning signs. And now they think that's who Jesus is. I think, wow, if that's a Christian, I don't want anything to do with Christians. And we're supposed to be representatives of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He came in love, He came in mercy, He came to serve, He came to forgive, He came to bless, He came to save the world. You and I are supposed to go and do likewise. So pay attention to your warning signs. So God brought them out of the land of slavery. God brought them out. It's where they used to be, but no longer where they are. Your past is part of your history. It's part of your story, but it doesn't have to be part of your future. It's where you're from, but it's not where you're going. Your warning signs will point you, if you listen to them, to where God wants you to go. God will place signs in your life saying, Arby, this is not a good road for you. And this business decision I had to make this week, it wasn't like I was falling into sin. But God's been giving me warnings throughout this spring on my walks with God several times of beware of the distractions. Beware of what looks good but really isn't. And it's not that it's bad and it's sinful, but it would distract me and take up my time from serving the King of Kings to rather do business and make money. So the devil's very sneaky. He doesn't have to kill you right now, dead in your tracks, and drag you to hell. But if he can kill your ministry, if he can kill your time and service to the King, if he can kill it, steal it, destroy it, then he's happy. Anything he can do to disable the ministry of God, the kingdom of God, he's happy. So pay attention in your life to those warning signs. We made it through verse 2. Are you guys excited? Amen. I'm going to close right there and save the rest of this goodness for next week. So you're going to have to come back next week to enjoy. Some of these warning signs in our lives are very evident or very obvious. When you come to an intersection at a road, you have a stoplight or stop sign. It's stop. Do you always stop? I most generally stop. I have to be honest. Usually my first trip to a city, I still think I'm in the country, and I look both ways, it's clear, and I just go. And about halfway through an intersection, somebody in the vehicle is going, red light, red light, red light. Some of it's just on accident. Do you know you can get into trouble on accident? I've done it. I like just trust people way too easy sometimes. And it gets me in trouble sometimes. And it's just on accident, and that's all right. But if we're aware, God will send us a warning. It's like, oh, that's not what they meant. That isn't how they took that. But if we're aware, God sends us those warnings each and every time. We were coming back from a summer camp one year. Of course, you're all week long with the kids and up late and up early and running hard all day and low on sleep. If you've ever been to youth camp and you come home with toothpicks in your eyeballs and like, just got to keep them open to get there. And we're like on a six-hour drive home. And I'm like, man, I am like dragging. I'm like, we're going to go to Baskin Robbins. I'm going to get a 32-ounce Mocha Blast. And it's got six shots in it. And that'll get me home. And so we pull into town and we get that. And then going out of Yakima, there's this long street. I forget the name of it. But it's like light, 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 light. I don't know, there's 50 of them in a row or something. So I get my Mocha Blast and we're heading out of town and it's like green light, green light, green light, green light. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. This is awesome. All green lights. And we must have hit 20 or 25 of them green. Just so now I'm in the zone. We're headed home. I'm tired. And all of a sudden the kids start yelling, red light! And I just instantly hit the brakes. And then all of a sudden, we're sliding through the intersection. Cars coming from both sides. I'm like, oh, God help us. This isn't going to be good. And at the end of it, everybody thought I was number one. Some of you will get that later. But sometimes in our lives, we just get clicking with God. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there. And everything's just going good, and everything's just going great. And I'm just like, oh. And I start floating through life, and I start forgetting about looking for the warning signs and start forget about, oh, any danger could ever come my way or any hardship. And, oh, God's so great and wonderful. Have you ever been there? It's like, ah. And it's like we're floating down this street of green lights. And we forget that there could be danger ahead. We forget that there's an enemy of our soul. But God will give us those warning lights. Arby, stop. God will give us people in our lives in the back seat to yell, red light! If we will listen to them, if we will hear the warning, we will avoid the trap, the destruction, the deceit that the enemy has set before us. But even when we fall into it, his goodness, his grace, and his mercy is there for us. Even if we fall into it, his forgiveness is there through our repentance. if we'll come before him and say, God, I messed up big time. God, looking back now, I see there were 15 orange cones out and a flagger ahead and be prepared to stop. And I ignored every one of them because I was serving my agenda. I was serving my wants and my wishes. God, help me not to do that again. God, forgive me. God, give me grace and mercy. God, make me pure again that I could serve you, that I could represent you well. God is always drawing us back, drawing us near, bringing us to repentance so that we could receive and become all that he has in store for you and I. Do your maintenance. Do it regularly. Don't ignore the warning lights. Amen. You know, Wayne, would you come, please?
Thank you, RB. And I pray that we may be perceptive enough to see the warning signs that God provides us, and may we have the wisdom to put our trust and faith to act accordingly. It's good to be here with you today, brothers and sisters. Let's call the ushers forward so that we can take the offering, and I'll pray for the offering. And for those of you who are viewing online, if you would like to donate online, you may do so at this website, www.tlc4me.cc. And there's a donate button on the homepage right up on the right-hand side. Dear Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to participate in your kingdom by the offerings that we provide with our tithes and our offerings. And Father, we're just so grateful that we have resources that we might share in building this kingdom, your kingdom, Father, in the world and in our hearts. And we just pray that this offering and our tithes are acceptable to you to this day, and that our hearts are pure in the giving. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I'll close with prayer, but I just want to thank everyone for your prayers. There's a lot of us who have suffered, unfortunately, from this COVID pandemic. I'm a recent participant, and I have to admit, it's probably one of the closest times to death that I think I've ever experienced. So I know this is not fun stuff, and just pray for those who are also suffering. And the sad thing is that, you know, this thing was most likely developed and distributed. And it just boggles my mind what kind of dark-souled people could do that. And I just want to call upon such people to repent. Jesus loves you. Don't sell your souls to darkness for a little bit of earthly porridge. Let your treasures be in heaven, not here on earth. Seek God with all your heart. And if you have sin, repent. And I'll just pray. Dear Father, we're so grateful for your love and your grace. And help us to understand the warning signs that you do give us. And may we have the wisdom, Father, to heed those signs and to stop and to think and to pray and to put our trust and faith in you and to be guided by your holy words so that we know how to navigate through the times of despair. And may we always find faith in your word so that we might have joy, dear Father. And we know that we live in a fallen world. We know that we live in a world that's enshrouded by darkness. And we just pray, Father, for your light to pierce that darkness. Let your light shine through us to pierce that darkness, to stand against any evil that might confront us. We know that we are fallen, Father, but we also know that we can stand firmly on the rock of your holy word. And we pray, Father, plant our feet firmly on your word, and may our hearts be in line with yours to truth and justice. And may we call out sin when we see it. May we have the courage to stand against it. Help us to prevail, Father, over the evil that does enshroud this world, this fallen world. May we stand up in the darkness and let your light shine through us to illuminate the hearts of those who might be enshrouded and captured by darkness. In this we pray humbly and proclaim our love for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us proclaim it throughout the world. proudly, not proudly, but boldly, with humility and love, with your grace, in Jesus' name, amen.